Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, what up, everybody? Sorry about that. This is Leon Keys. Special Friday night edition. You know, the night before the big pay-per-view tomorrow. What up, Keys? How you doing, bro?
Yo, yo, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. All
right, word. Yeah, no, it's very exciting. I've been telling everybody it's a holiday, so I actually had a coworker who asked me to swap shifts with him, and I was like, all right, sure, all right, cool. And then, but when he told me I'd have to work tomorrow for him, I told him, nah, man, I can't do it. My bad, bro. It's a holiday. No, it's an all-day event, and there's no way I could work for you tomorrow. And he was like, all right. So, yeah. That's where we at with this, more or less. So, I'm excited. I am extremely excited. It feels like Christmas right now. It feels like the night before Christmas to me.
You know, it's kind of funny because I can't remember the last time you've been this hyped about a fight. It's been a long time. I think the last time you've been this hyped about a fight card is probably when they had the three belts on. The three belts on the line, and I think all three champions ended up losing that match. I think that was the last time you was this excited.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. That was that was a very exciting card too. I mean, last year's New York card, yeah, that was the one. All the champions lost that night. I actually had Bisping, and you had GSP. The only one I was right was Rose. I was the only one saying Rose was going to beat Joanna. She knocked her out in the first round or whatever it was. So, yeah, but this one, I think this still has potential to be a better card than that one. You know, I might even be more excited for this one, honestly. This one is, it's just so crazy. Like, the fact you have, you know, that lightweight trifecta right at the top of the card, you know, having McGregor, Ferguson, and Khabib, the lightweight trifecta, sitting top heavy at top of the card. I mean, I'm a big fan of Showtime Pettis as well. You can almost, if it sounded cool, I would say, you know, you got four top lightweights at the top of the mountain. So that's crazy. All of them coming off impressive wins, and actually, I mean, yeah, all of them coming off impressive wins in their last fight, pretty much. So. Man, I'm excited. My boy Derek Lewis is on the card. I mean, it keeps going.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, like I said, Monday. And, you know, before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, Monday was not one of our best shows, probably because we did it kind of late. But we're going to make up for it tonight. We're going to bring the energy tonight. Excuse us for Monday night, you know. But at the same time, you know, the UFC is back in full effect tomorrow night. And me and my man Keith, we up here to bring you that good, and we're going to represent tonight like we normally do before big fights. And I'm amped up, man. I really can, you know, Monday I said I was going to temper my expectations because, you know, normally when you have big fights, they normally don't live up to the billing. But I think this fight has really, really took a personal turn in the last couple of days with some of the stuff Conor has been saying about Khabib's manager and all this good stuff. And, you know, Khabib saying that he's going to humble Conor in the octagon. So this fight definitely has a chance to really, really be a good fight. And I'm hoping that it is for my man Keith's sake, because if not, he probably will come up in here Monday or Tuesday being a Debbie Downer, you know. So let's hope for the best.
Yeah, I'm not even that's not even in my realm of thinking right now. I think that possibility is a very possible possibility if things were to take a turn for the, you know, if it were to go one way, then that would be one route. But that's not even in my realm of thinking right now, of that possibility. It's not in this dimension. That's in a different dimension. And the one that we are currently in is a fast train and it's about to get crazy. So, oh my God, like it's just like the co-main event and the main event are just killing me. Like, oh my God. I mean, I like Michelle Waterson. I like OSP. I mean, Volkov and Derek Lewis is. That's probably going to be a good fight. That's probably going to be a really good fight, actually. It's exciting. I mean, it's a really solid card. For something that has only one title fight, this is a really solid card, I think. I mean, you also have both the Pettis brothers on the card. So I feel like that's a double feature right there. I mean, Sergio
yeah,
Pettis
like
got back and racks up wins, too. Yeah, that's a talented bunch right there.
Yeah, man, so let's jump into the card, man. So I already know, you know, we ain't talking about the main event yet. So what do you think going to be like a sleeper fight of the night that the people should be looking out for?
Okay, so my pick is it's either going to be – I feel like Sergio Pettis and Formiga – is a close fight. That was one of the ones where I actually I second and third triple guessed myself on my DraftKings lineup, and I actually didn't end up. I don't think I ended up picking either one of them for that fight because I was just like, man, this is gonna be. That might be the one. Honestly, that one's a competitive fight. But then at the same time, like Michelle Waterson and Felice Herrig, I feel like has a similar effect to it as well. I mean, that's the closest fight on. You know, for the odds makers, that's a minus 100. That's a minus 105 to a minus 115. I mean, that's an extremely. That's like a matter of one, you know, significant strike kind of fight. Like that's how closely matched that is right now. So that one could be it. I mean, it's hard. Like I feel like Derek Lewis could have a performance of the night. But at the same time, like with how he looked versus Ngannou, it was hard for me to think of it that way. OSP, like he could come out with, he has that signature choke that he's been, you know, he's been putting out, getting guys with, like in his last like three or four fights, he had the Von Flue choke. OSP pulled out the
That's
Von Flue choke in the first round, couple of his last fights. So that one, that could be a performance of the night. But like back and forth, though, I do think Sergio Pettis and Formiga probably going to take that. I think that's going to be a banger. Either that, if not. Ah, man, it's hard. See, this is why I'm so excited about this card, because I can't even pick one. Like, I'm looking at all the fights, and I just keep my eyes keep, like, thinking of a new option. Like, I start explaining my case, and I see another fight, and I'm like, man, but that could also be the one. Like, there's many possibilities. It's very difficult. What do you think? That's what I'll turn over with you. What do you think?
I'm going to take a fight that's kind of not on people's radar, and it's actually a fight that actually I think I may have beat up on Twitter because these two guys have been in the UFC a long time, and I think maybe their careers are coming
to an
end. You're
going to say
Gray Maynard? Yep. I'm going with Gray Maynard and Nick Lynch, man. I think that fight might be like an underrated fight that might actually come out to be one of the fights that people probably end up talking about on, you know, Saturday night after the pay-per-view go off, or, you know, Sunday morning or Monday at work or something. I think some people might talk about that, the Gray Maynard and Nick Lentz fight. And I'm also got my eye on two guys I never heard of, Vicente Luque and Jalen Turner. I never heard of these two guys, but they both look impressive at the weigh-ins. So let's see what they can do, man. You know, like my motto for 2018 has been new blood. So, you know, being on that too for me with these two guys, I hope they put on the show for us.
See, my problem with that is that one guy is like not the Turner guy. I don't even know if he's ever fought in the MMA. He doesn't even have like a – yeah, he's – no, yeah, okay, he has. He's only 6-3 MMA record. I don't even know if he's fought in the UFC before. I never heard of this guy ever. And a dude he's fighting is a minus 950 favorite. So it's probably because of the lack of what anybody has seen from this Jalen Turner guy. Jalen the Tarantula Turner. It's probably because of the lack of what everybody has you know, what everybody has not seen from him to be able to bet on him. So I don't know. That one's one of those fights. I really don't know. But then again, the last time that, I mean, this is probably a different scenario, but I remember I kind of had a similar thought when I didn't know who, when your boy Ricardo Lamas fought, the dude who Jeremy Stephens knocked out right after that. I forget what his name was, but I had never heard of him through a hole in the wall. And then he got in there and finished Ricardo Lamas in, like, the first or second round with, like, a crazy knockout. So it's hard to even look at fights that way. I don't know. You could be right.
Well, you know, I wanted to pick something that really wasn't on, like, the main card. I know that Pettis, Formiga fight, I think that fight is going to be a good one. I'm definitely looking forward to the Derrick Lewis-Volkov fight. I like Showtime and Ferguson. I want to see how Ferguson is going to look coming off an injury. And the sexiest face-off I've seen in the UFC happened between Michelle Waterson and Felice Herring. That was one of the sexiest face-offs I've seen. Man, good gracious, that was sexy. So, man, you know, I just wanted to get the people off the radar fight to check out while they're watching the fights. But, you know, my man, Key said, we got OSP on this card. And he's been on a little roll here lately. So I'm looking forward to his fight too, man, because I like OSP.
Yeah, this guy he's fighting is 9-0. But, like, I don't know. OSP's got, you know, he's got 33 MMA fights, you know, so it's kind of like veteran in the UFC, so that's one of those things. Like, the UFC really been circulating a lot of random. It's just weird. Like, guys circulate to the top so fast, and you don't even know who they are. Like, because guys don't have a lot of MMA fights before they get into the UFC. UFC be picking up guys that are, like, having 3 professional fights, and they're getting UFC contracts. So it's like, I guess that'd be a double standard, because I was just talking about Greg Hardy, and he's just got to 3-0 overall MMA record, only 2, you know, fights in the contender series, and I'm talking about him. But at the same time, I mean, I guess that same concept is helping out these divisions, because you need to see new talent come in, because these guys get washed up. And that's, I mean, the UFC got to know how to circulate for these people's health.
I know you didn't get to watch the weigh-ins today. But there was an interesting development at the weigh-ins today. Anthony Pettis, man, it was a notion that he might not make weight today. And I can't remember the last time that he came into a fight struggling to make weight. So that might be a bad sign for him tomorrow.
Yeah, that's definitely. Ferguson and Pettis is. See, I was just talking about this with somebody, and I was just thinking to myself, Tony Ferguson is an animal, first of all. Such a well-rounded fighter. That's the scary thing about him. I mean, Pettis, too. Pettis has a lot of weapons. So I guess that's, you know, maybe partly, you know, probably good reason why this fight, you know, made sense. I just think that Ferguson is more in his prime right now. As to where Pettis, we're not really sure if his time has seriously passed. I mean, he's had incredible moments that are behind him, and then he tried to move to featherweight, and then now he's back at lightweight. So I don't know. Pettis going to have a tough road, because, I mean, when he went to featherweight, right when he gets there, he fought the best guy out there. He fought Max Holloway, who's a champion who nobody can beat. So, I mean, Pettis kind of had a tough road. I mean, he fights good competition. I mean, he lost to Poirier, but Poirier is one of the best guys on the planet. So, I mean, I would put Poirier over any lightweight, almost any lightweight. Like, I feel like Poirier is a top 5 lightweight across any promotion. Like, I would put money on Poirier over almost everybody, you know, in anything, Bellator, know, that's a guy that, like, if I had to make a UFC versus Bellator card or UFC versus one of these other promotions and you had to pick, like, a certain guy from each division, I feel like Poirier is a sure bet, you know, amongst, you know, a few others. But he's definitely, if I had to pick, would be one of the first ones out of a hat that I would want to pick to fight any lightweight, any promotion. Poirier is a savage. So that just goes to show Pettis just had a tough road. Like, the losses he's taken lately to all some of the best guys in the world. So it's really hard to judge him off of, like, his last couple performances. And then Ferguson, I mean, just hasn't fought in a while, but he's had a long time to charge his batteries. I mean, he is coming off an injury, but, you know, he did it in a way that he didn't let himself, you know, just sit on the couch. You know, he was never on the couch. I feel like Ferguson was, you know, he was always posting workout videos and, you know, he wasn't, you know, not really interviews. He was just putting in work. Like, he wasn't just running his mouth during the time when he was out of commission. You didn't even hear him coming out saying nothing. He was just, the only time I've seen something from Ferguson is posting a workout video or, you know, kicking steel beams or something like that. Like, this dude's a psycho. Like, Ferguson is literally a psycho. Like, I don't even know. That's just kind of scary sometimes. Like, watching the shit he be posting in his workouts. Like, the intensity of the shit he's doing is just mind-blowing to me when I watch his footage. Not even in the cage. Just what he's doing in, you know, when he's practicing. The drills he's doing, it's just wild. Man.
Yeah, I think the only thing I worry about with Ferguson is I know some people like to tell me that it's not, that it doesn't matter because of how much they train. But I think ring rust is a real thing. So I want to see him get through the first round. And then I think after the first round, we'll see the real Tony Pettis step up and start dominating Pettis.
Yeah.
I had to sneeze. Good gracious.
Bless you.
But, yeah, thank you. So, man, you know, I'm definitely looking to see Ferguson. You know, that's my man. That's me. That's actually one of me and your favorite fighters because he is a well-rounded guy, man. He can fight on his back. He can fight on his feet. He can wrestle. You know, he can defend takedowns. And he's one of those guys that all his fights seem like they're action-packed fights. Especially the fight with him and Kevin Lee. I love that fight. I wouldn't mind seeing rewind that fight. But
when you say a rewind, you're talking about you want to watch the UFC to release the fight? Like, you want to just watch it again?
No, you wouldn't mind seeing a rematch?
No, I
want them to run it back. I want them to have that fight again. I wouldn't mind seeing that fight somewhere down the road. A rematch.
Well, I do feel like Kevin Lee, that was close. That's why it was such a good fight. I mean, they only had, like, you know, 2.5-3 rounds until the stoppage, but that was a really competitive fight. And everybody doubted Kevin Lee going into it, and I was just the one being like, I mean, there was a good amount of us, but a lot of people, you know, when I say Kevin Lee, like, oh, you know, it's a mismatch, him and Ferguson. Like, he's only in there because he was, you know, talking smack on that, whatever that was, after that, you know, that fight night win, you know, with the footage of them two, you know, going back and forth when they had on UFC on Fox or whatever. But he actually got in there and proved that he was worthy of being in that, you know, in that spotlight, you know, that main event spotlight. He proved that he could hang in there, and I think Ferguson knew that after that fight. I feel like there was respect there, and they both were like, okay. You know what I mean? They gained more of a respect for each other's skill level. And I think that's another reason why a rematch would be so interesting, you know, because they respect where each other's at. And I think that they're actually a lot more closely matched than it's made to seem.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people felt that, and I was probably one of them. I think I was on the same boat as you. I felt Kevin Lee had talked this way into a situation that he really then basically earned into the opportunity of, you know, winning the lightweight. Because that was for the interim belt, I think, at that time. I think that was for the interim belt. I think it was. But, you know, me and you felt like he hadn't did enough to earn that opportunity. But he acquitted himself well in that fight. I thought Tony would run through him, but he didn't. So, you know, hats off to Cavalier. And if the UFC want to have that rematch somewhere down the road, I wouldn't knock it. But I think if Ferguson wins this fight on Saturday, then he should get the immediate shot against the winner of Khabib and Conor. And if Khabib loses, Khabib shouldn't get an immediate rematch because he never beat Tony Ferguson and he never really actually won the belt. So I feel like Ferguson did win the interim belt when he beat Kevin Lee. He fought the number five guy at the time, and I think he was the number one ranked guy at the time. So I think he earned his interim belt, whereas I feel Khabib didn't. So we'll see what happens, man. Let's talk about your girl, man, Michelle Waterson. Give us some insight on her, man.
I just want to add this to what you just left off with right there is, and I just thought of this right now. Now, as long as it's possible, I think it would be worth it for, like, if it could ever come down to a time where, as long as it didn't make things too repetitive, if the only time a title could be on the line was if it was guys within the top five. Like, because everybody talks about title contention, but that's kind of just like a figure, it's kind of like a figurative language, you know, in the UFC and in MMA or boxing, whatever. When you say somebody's, you know, after this fight, you know, he or she, you know, they're definitely, you know, going to be, they're in title contention. Like, that should be an official bracket. That should be a piece because you have the top 15 and then you have the top five. There's a big difference between somebody in the top five and somebody who's in, you know, between the top 10 and top 15. Like, that's a very far stretch in the rankings, I believe. I think that the placement should be known and should be recognized. And only as long as it's possible and guys can make the fight and it's not too repetitive where you're just seeing the champ fight, you know, the champ beats the number one guy and the number one guy, you know, wins one fight and then gets, you know, a rematch with the same guy who's still champion. Like, as long as it didn't get repetitive in that way and you've seen, you know, some movement in the division and fights were getting set up, like, I think that would be a good feature to have if they would make it. And, you know, guys in the top five, if it's not the title fight, you can fight someone outside of the top five. That's fine. But if it's going to be for the title, the champion, I feel like going forward, as long as it's possible, should only be fighting guys in the top five. I feel like that's more fair because it doesn't allow other guys to just come in and skip the line. You know what I mean? Because if in a competitive way, you know, maybe it's not the best on, from some other angle, but I feel like in a competitive way, it makes sense.
Yeah. And I know where you're coming from with this is because me and your beef basically has been with how Khabib won the belt. He fought the number 12 guy. The number 12 guy would have never got a title shot unless the champ had beat everybody above him. Then maybe he would have got a title shot. But the number 12 guy would have never got a title shot. So for the UFC to grant Aya Khanna a title shot just so Khabib could fight for the belt, it was a back way of giving him the belt. You know what I'm saying? So when Kevin Lee fought Tony Ferguson, at least it was two top five guys fighting each other at the time.
Yeah, I just think you're kind of – I mean, I guess, like, from the business end, it makes sense, but it just seems like, yeah, like you say, you're just kind of giving the strap away, and you know that this guy is supposed to – see, that's the funniest thing about it, because when the press was talking to Khabib, the guy asked him, you know, there was that one reporter, I think it was the first press conference when they were in New York, you know, last week. The guy said, you know, Akinta went five rounds with you. And Khabib said, you know, he didn't really understand. And then he goes, you know, he responded to the reporter and he goes, when's the last time you've seen a champion win or a judge's score, you know, the judge's score at 50-43 in a title fight? And he was like, when's the last time you heard of this? And it's like, man, what are you talking about? You're supposed to, like, that kind of, that's supposed to be there. Like, you feel good about that. Like, you dominated somebody you were supposed to dominate. Like, it's not like you fought a high-level guy. Like, Iaquinta is good, but that was a mismatch. Like, everybody knew that. Like, you had the upper hand. He was a huge favorite. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what other outcome anyone would expect. I mean, you're supposed to beat that guy. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's not impressive.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it should be impressive. Nobody's up a bit unless you're a fan of Khabib. But I think for future title fights. Oh, you know what? I'm going to move on to another subject. I hate to do that and so abruptly. But
nah,
you know
just
how
go,
man,
go.
You was complaining. You know how me and you was complaining about the main event for UFC 230, right?
Yeah.
How about Dana is saying that he was working on making the main event Dustin Poirier versus Nate Diaz?
I think that's a great idea, to be honest. I support that 120,000%. Let's go. Let's go. That's
yeah.
the real main event.
Yep.
That's the real main event. A five round?
Yeah.
Yo, it's a disservice. This is a public service announcement. Anybody who hears this, this is a disservice. Dana White, you are doing a disservice to the UFC and everything that, you know, it has represented itself by not making Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier a banger of a fight, bomb burner, potential classic, one of the best fights ever, potentially. That is a banger. That's one of the best stand-up fights you could have in the whole UFC right now. There is not many fights that are a better match than that right now. That is my word. And to not make that a five-round fight is a disservice to the UFC, the entire business, the image in both of the fighters and the division, because the whole division wants to see that in a five-round fight. No, don't nobody want to see that in a three-round fight. Come on. Are you serious? That other girl is like 3-2, and you're going to put her in the main event five rounds? Doesn't even know. Don't nobody even know who gives a damn who the hell that person is that is fighting. Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, five rounds. Let's go. They don't even need a belt. Fuck the 165. You don't need to make a belt just for the, you know, figure that out after. Just make it a five-round fight. That's all you need to do. I think both the fighters would even be more happier with a five-round fight, you know, this time around. Diaz hasn't fought in 2 years. I don't think he wants to go in there for a three-round fight. I think he wants that main event.
And man, when I read it today, I said, I'm not even going to say nothing until I talk to Keith, until we get on the show tonight. I said, Keith probably will go, he probably will do a backflip at his house when I tell him this. But I was so excited as a fan that the UFC, at least they're talking about moving it to the main event. Because to me, you can't have a main event of Shevchenko, who is the A-side, against a girl we don't even know who she is. I never heard of her. All I know is that the thing they said was that she lost the Ultimate Fighter tournament, you know, to the girl, to Nico Montoya. So I'm like, okay, so what does that do for me? You know? So
yeah.
So when I read that, man, I was so happy. I was like, yeah, we're probably going to get the fight that we want as the main event.
So, I think the big thing is that I keep, you know, because there's a lot of people around here, you know, right now that are, you know, everybody's coming out because it's a McGregor fight and this is what they do. You know, it's kind of like a similar concept. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, McGregor is the, like, LeBron James of the UFC. It's not the same exact thing, but it is kind of similar to this scenario. So the fans who don't watch every game are going to be critical of and watch probably the entirety of the game LeBron James plays in. Because they want to see him against the best competition. So you're rooting against somebody. You're rooting against greatness because people hope to see greatness fall, and of course they're going to come out when that person's up to the plate, like LeBron in the NBA Finals, I should say, you know, in this case, McGregor in the main event, you know, lightweight title fight against, 26-0 undefeated, you know, Dagestani rat. They're going to come out and bet against them. And that's what I'm experiencing over here in Boston, is a lot of people coming to me and, you know, telling me I don't know UFC because, you know, I don't respect that Khabib fought a bear when he was 5 years old. And I just look at them and say,
is it on tape?
Yeah, I just look at them and say, first of all, I don't give a damn about who he wrestled. So I don't care if he wrestled an anaconda or if it was a polar bear or, you know, grizzly bear or, you know, he pulled out a barracuda out of the ocean with his bare hands or with his teeth or, you know, he kicked somebody's head off. I don't give a damn what story. You're not moving my needle with that garbage. I don't care. He's 26. Who has he fought? Okay, you guys are looking at a paper record right there. That is nothing. Okay, I don't see anything concrete about that. And he hasn't fought nobody. So that belt is the Boo Boo belt, and that belt is more of the Boo Boo belt than the one that Kobe Covington and Dos Nacho just fought for. You know, the fight when they both lost. Yeah, so they had an interim title and they both lost because no matter who wins, it was just the loser's bracket to who wanted to get the ass whooping next. But then Covington ended up dodging it, and then Darren Till got the ass whooping for him. So technically all three of y'all lost that for the Boo Boo belt. Darren Till and Dos Nacho and Covington all lost. So I don't know how I came into that, but yeah, T. Woodley, number one.
Yeah, actually, I'm watching your boy T. Woodley right now. He's doing a commentary on the weigh-in show right now. Him and Michael Bisping, along with
good
Aaron
shit.
Bryant.
And good
actually,
shit. Let's go.
It looked like it's a packed house up in there for the weigh-in. So we'll see, man. Like I said, I wanted to temper my expectations because I hate when a fight doesn't live up to the billing. And I want this fight. Actually, I want this whole card to live up to the billing because this card is actually a good card.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they got your boy T. Willie up here, man. He's doing commentary.
Yeah, so, you know, I was actually hyped for like 5 minutes. I mean, they got, first of all, UFC, put some respect on Woodley. That's first and foremost. He's the number one, so just put some respect on him. And
yeah, they do.
I was excited for 5 minutes when I thought he was going to do a 180 and also main event in New York right after main event in Dallas, 228. You know, if he would have come back literally 2 months later. I mean, it's just such a quick turnaround for any fighter. So, I mean, I don't blame him that it didn't happen. I mean, he has to get, you know, surgery or, you know, what have you, but I'm glad he's up there.
And plus, why should he do a favor for the UFC when the UFC doesn't even respect him as a champion? Why should he put his body, put his title and all that stuff in jeopardy and do a quick turnaround fight for a company that doesn't even back him? I'm with T. Woodley on that, man.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to take my time.
Well, for sure. I mean, you bring it up, he probably had the similar thought process. You know, he probably thought that exact thing. So, I mean, because, you know, we know with these guys, he knows what's going on. You know, say, you know, him and Dana White have no smoke, but, like, on the low, I mean, we can, you know, blatantly see Dana White does not have too much respect for Tyron Woodley. So he didn't even want to put the belt around him after he beat Darren Till. He was, like, disgusted looking. He had, like, I don't know what kind of face on in the background. He just kind of went MIA after the whole thing, didn't even speak to the press after the event. So I don't know what the fuck was going on with that. I mean, because if Darren Till had won, I feel like Dana would have been right there to fucking put the belt on him, and he would have spoke and said how he thinks that Darren Till would be the next star in the UFC and to tell the press that after the event. So, and nobody
could
tell me different.
He had already said that. He said that
before. Well, no, he had
said
it, but I – Yeah, he would. But if Till had won, I think he would have been right there to put the strap around his waist, and he would have been right there to talk to the press after the fight with a big smile on his face.
And I just don't understand it, man. I'm not a big T. Wood fan, but at least I do respect him as a champion. You know, he go in there, do what he got to do. He's the defender of his belt. But UFC don't even respect him, man. It's like, dang. Dana basically, before that fight, man, he did everything but get a belt to Darren Till. That's the only thing that was missing.
And, you know, what's kind of, you know, stemming off of that, I don't know if you saw the press conference that they just did last night, you know, the last Khabib and McGregor press conference, where, first of all, Khabib showed up for the first 15 minutes of the press conference and then left, okay? And I understand why he did that. I can see that angle from why he would be, you know, frustrated because, you know, I get there, I'm supposed to be there at a certain time. You know, Conor's not here. Like, you know, who does he think he is? I have to, you know, deal with all these, you know, Irish, you know, people yelling at me in the crowd. And I could see how, you know, Khabib probably, I mean, he misses fights all the time. So, he's got to go back there and keep cutting weight and make sure he doesn't eat any tiramisu. So, you know, he's got to keep his diet in check because he might fall out of the fight if he eats tiramisu. So he's got to be holding back his cravings. And, yeah, McGregor actually about, I mean, I just take it as a joke, but he did say that he did you see the part when he said to the crowd that he would potentially want to go right from this event and main event Madison Square Garden too? Did you see him say that?
No, I didn't hear him say that, but it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, that could easily just be bravado for the crowd. I mean, just something to hype people up. I think it did get a little reaction. Probably not as big as he would have expected, because I think a lot of people, I mean, the thought of it is exciting, but I think just the realistic, you know, the reality of it, I think is just not there, because I think it's just such a short turnaround. It's just, for a fighter of his, you know, level, I don't think that would even be a smart thing to do. It's like 3 weeks turnaround, you know, and God knows how or what injuries, you know, he could walk out of this fight with. You never know what he might be. I just think that would just be a bad idea, but I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like at this point, we should just jump right into the prediction. I feel like it's the perfect time. And
yeah, let's do it.
I'm not going to – what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through –
here we go.
Because I have DraftKings right here. So I'm going to – I'm in a couple contests. So I'm in two contests. I'm doing a head-to-head with one of my boys.
You told me you
wasn't
going to do no contests.
Oh, no, nah, this is...
You
I'm
said you wasn't
going to
do no DraftKings.
When did I say that?
Monday, when me and you talked on the phone Monday. But go ahead.
Why would I say that? What? How did I justify not playing? Why would I not play?
You said you just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, no, nah, that's true. I mean, because sometimes, like, if you're with... I feel like when I'm with, like, a group of people and, like, or someone that I'm in a contest with, sometimes it's easy to, like, kind of end up looking at your phone and stuff, like, seeing how you're doing in the contest. That I think that's probably the reason, if I said it, that's probably why I said it, was just so I could focus, because I might not even give a shit. I mean, I'm going to be in some contests. You know, as of right now, I'm in, like, one contest right now. I might, you know, invite a couple competitors. I might get into a group contest. But, I mean, no matter which way it goes, that's like a commercial break thing maybe, you know, to check out how I'm doing in the contest. But, you know, in terms of the predictions, I can give you my lineup. That's the way I'll do the predictions. I'm just going to give you my lineup. This isn't, you know, the ones that I – because here's my
philosophy. Hold on, Keys. You got to tell people how DraftKings really work, though. DraftKings, you only win if you pick an underdog, though, right?
No, that's actually true. At least not. No, that's not true. I thought that you can get more from having a guy who's the odds are against him. If you pick him and he wins, you technically the winnings and more, but it's actually the opposite. It's actually the favorite. I don't know if it's every time because I'm actually still learning about this and about DraftKings. I'm still trying to figure out what trends seem to be there, like in terms of favorite underdog points, you know, cash outs and bonuses. Like, I'm still learning a lot of the features while I'm doing different contests, but I know at least for this event, all the favorites are the ones that are big price tags on them. And the ones with bigger price tags also give you a lot more fighter points if they win. So I'm going to explain this right now. So if you do the UFC for DraftKings, they give you a $50,000 salary cap. So every person, so say me and Lee go in, we could do a head-to-head, Lee, and I'm talking straight to you. We could do a head-to-head on DraftKings for this event, and me and you, private contest, so it's just my points versus your points. Now, we would both get a $50,000 salary cap, so you've got like $50,000 in Monopoly cash, and with that $50,000, mm-hmm. you get to pick out from every fight, you can pick out of all the fights, you can pick a six fighter lineup with $50,000 to spend. And each, you know, fighter, depending on, you know, their record and, you know, different stats, also like their rank, and mostly based on what you said, you know, who's the favorite and who's the underdog, that will determine how many fighter points you'll get from it. And also, you know, that mixed with their record, like Khabib is 26-0, so he's like $8,900, so he's like, you know, just short of $9,000, you know, just for Khabib. But like, if he wins, you're gonna get, he's one of the highest payouts in fighter points. So if you pick Khabib, he's the favorite, but you'll get more points, but you also have to spend more. So basically, that's the way of DraftKings, I think, in a way, trying to even out the playing field, because it doesn't let you just stack out your lineup with all the favorites, because if someone were to do that, first of all, you can't afford it because you only have 50K. But also it's not fair because then everyone could just pick the favorites, and then how do you have a contest? There needs to be some kind of even ground. So it kind of forces you into picking a couple underdogs too, or a couple people that are a heavy underdog, or, you know, only have one fight in the UFC. Like, so then you're not too – no one team or one individual entrant is too stacked. So if me and Lee were to go in right now, I'm going to read off one lineup that I have, and I'll explain my reasoning for it. You know, this isn't my – some of them will be my official prediction, and some is just like DraftKings. I'm going to explain the difference in a second. Every time that I pick, basically, in shortest words, every time that I, you know, predict someone to win, and then, you know, the person I predict to win with my heart, so I make my pick with my heart, and then I pick in the same way with my heart on DraftKings, that person loses. That's what happens to me every time. So if I pick with my heart and I don't play DraftKings, that person has more likelihood to win. That's what I've noticed in the past. Some weird thing, but it always – that's the trend. That's what seems to happen. So what I did was with this lineup, and I'm going to read them off, is I picked Khabib, my first lineup. I think I might have changed it, either that or I have McGregor, because I have two lineups and two contests. So I picked Khabib because the last card I picked Darren Till, and he was the favorite. So I would have got more if he did win, but I was also rooting for T. Woodley. So, but see, what I did came true because I picked Darren Till and then he lost. It seems like I have this bad luck with DraftKings where every time I pick someone to win on DraftKings, I'll lose, or they'll get knocked out. And so I picked Darren Till and he lost. So I lost DraftKings, but I was still happy because I was actually rooting for Woodley. So in this lineup, go ahead.
So basically you use a little reverse psychology as well?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Also, I'm doing that like half and half with this card because, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, all right. I understand the DraftKings part because you can't pick all the favorites because you're not going to, especially if you got to pick six fighters. So you say if you pick Khabib and he's $9,000, you only got $40,000 left for five more fighters. So you can't pick all the favorites. Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. So you do got to pick some lower dollar fighters to fill out your lineup towards the bottom if you want to so you can't go heavy. So you can't go heavy on the top fighters. I get you.
Yeah, because I mean, for example, this is my lineup. So I have one with a friend of mine, and this is who I got. So I got Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson, one of the most expensive guys on this. He's actually more expensive than Khabib and McGregor. He's actually $9,300. So that's really expensive.
Wow.
You're almost paying, you know, a fifth of the money. You know, yeah, that's crazy for one guy. So $9,000. Then you have this guy, Nick Lentz, who's fighting Gray Maynard in your sleeper fight of the night. He's actually $9,000. So that's crazy.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't. He's more expensive than McGregor and Khabib. McGregor's only $7,800. I don't know. But see, I was talking to somebody earlier, and they were saying that it's possible that DraftKings is they want more people to bet on the main event because it's a bigger payout, and you know, there's you know, for contests and things like that, it's probably better for their business, and not only many people bet on the main event because the fighters, main event fighters, cost so much. So you see how, you know, Conor and Khabib are just, you know, so conveniently cheap. You know, McGregor's less than $8,000 and Khabib is less than $9,000. Then you have Nick Lentz, who's in a fight on the prelims card, and he's $9,000. And Tony Ferguson is the co-main event. He's $9,300. Like, he's, like, the most expensive fighter on the card, and he's the co-main event.
Okay. I get it.
So who are your picks for these fights? I didn't really get into it, but I want to let you shoot off.
Well,
I'm
going to go with the main card picks. I'm going to go with Sergio Pettis over Formiga. I'm going with the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. I really want to go with Volkov, but I think Derek Lewis is so pissed off about his last performance against Ngannou. So I'm rolling with the Black Beast. I'm going with Ovince St. Preux. I'm going with Tony Ferguson. And I'm rolling with Khabib to beat Conor McGregor.
Okay, so, yeah, I thought that Derek Lewis and Alexander Volkov is a really tough fight to at least pick for DraftKings because it's just so – I feel like it's a close odds with that. I don't know how the odds actually are.
Because heavyweights are kind of hard to pick.
Yeah, because it feels like, you know, the heavyweights, you know, they all hit hard. And anybody can – it feels like anybody can knock anybody out in a heavyweight fight. So a guy could be a heavy underdog and just get that lucky shot. It just seems like a lot of heavyweight fights seem to go that way anyways. So, yeah, I could see Derek Lewis – and I could see either one knocking out the other guy. I mean, Volkov might be – I haven't watched as much of Volkov as I have Derek Lewis, so it's easy for me to lean Derek Lewis. I want to see him win. So, I mean, I'll be rooting for Derek Lewis, but that's definitely a tough fight right there, for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight, man, because I want to see how Derek Lewis come out, man. I want to see – has he put that performance behind him against Ngannou? And, you know, and I want to see whether or not Volkov is really the real deal. I mean, you know, he's up and coming, and this is a statement fight for him. This is a fight that can get him a little bit more notoriety within the UFC and probably push him into title contention.
Yeah. The other one, too, is OSP and this guy, I think his name is Dominic Reyes or Dominic Reyes. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
He is undefeated. As I can see, he's undefeated and he's the favorite. I'm not familiar with that guy, but I feel like that one could go either which way too, because I feel like I'll probably be rooting for OSP because I know I follow him. I don't know this other dude, but I mean, if he impresses me, he impresses me. So that's one I'll just be watching out just to see, you know, and then possibly become a fan of the, you know, the Reyes guy, you know, if he puts on a good performance.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this has been a staple. I mean, this has been a staple for people that listen to our show. Me and Keys, we have been about promoting the new guys, man, the new blood. Let them guys get a chance to shine. You know, make them household names, because sooner or later the old guys gonna get, they're gonna get old and have to lead the game. That it's gonna happen. So the best way to do it is to chauffeur in the new guys on like some of these big cards, you know, put them on the prelims, or you know, maybe sneak them into the first fight on the main, on the pay per view, so you know they become household names.
Yeah, I like that idea. You know, Michelle Watterson, that's all I'm going to say about this. And, you know, Michelle Watterson is just so beautiful. That's such an attractive fight. That's my honest opinion of it, man. I ain't even going to give y'all a prediction. I don't even care to give a prediction. I hope I don't sound sexist or nothing, and the viewers are going to be, like, hating on me. I apologize. I just need to point it out. Like, Felice Herrig is beautiful, and Michelle Watterson is beautiful, and that's just, like, one of the most attractive fights I've seen in such a long time. And that's it, man. I don't even care who wins, man. Like, I wish the best for both of them. What if it's like a double knockout or something? I mean, I that would just be probably the first time that's happened in forever. But
all I know,
yeah,
is
I guess
this. When they faced off in them dresses and them heels, boy, that was the sexiest face-off I ever seen. Man. Whew.
Yeah, I'll probably have to go run that one back because I haven't seen – if you're talking about the face-off today, because I didn't see any of the weigh-ins. And I think the weigh-ins just went live, too. I think it was 8 o'clock they were going to post it, because I remember I tried to look it up earlier when I had heard that everybody made weight, and then I'd seen that it wasn't coming out until tonight. So maybe I'll try and check that out after and see that face-off, because that is an attractive fight, man. Oh, my God.
It was actually on Twitter. I will send you the – I would send you the tweet, but you can't open it because you don't have Twitter.
Yeah, that's a neck breaker right there, that fight. I'm about to just be like, I might be blue in the face watching that. I might just be like unconscious. I don't even know if I'll be able to deal with it. Oh, my God. Yeah, so I don't know off the top. I mean, the Pettis brothers, that one's tough, too. I think I might have picked Formiga in one of my lineups because I'm rooting for Sergio. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing both the Pettis brothers win, honestly. Like, I think if Showtime wins, that would be a huge upset. I don't really think many people...
That would definitely be a huge upset.
Yeah, that would shake up everything. I don't think that many people are expecting
him to win.
Your boy
about to step on the scales. The Black Beast about to step on the scales. I think he weighed, like, 253 or something this morning.
Oh, he's just weighing in now?
Yeah, nah, they weighed in this morning. He was 255. Boy, he walked right up into Volkov's face. Go ahead, Big Lewis. And he pushed his hat off. Volkov just swung on him. Oh, snap!
Jesus. All right. Well, that should be a good fight then. There are the beast is amped up.
Oh, my God. Derek Lewis walked straight off the scale, got right in his face. And then pushed his little hat he had off on, and Volkov swung on him.
When he swung, did he connect, or is it like everybody?
No, he didn't connect.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
I guess.
But I think we did bring the energy tonight, man, because we both excited, man. I try to temper my excitement, but damn, I'm really amped up right now. And I'm just watching the weigh-ins. Connor just
Yeah. Up
in the weigh-ins in a Rolls Royce, man.
This is, I'm going to tell you, for the fans and for you, Lee, I want to tell you this because I think you'll get a laugh out of it. And this is a fact, all right? Everybody, this is a fact. So I had a procedure done at the hospital today. And, when I woke up, I was on anesthesia. They knocked me out anesthesia, and that was like, you know, about 7:45 this morning. So, you know, right around 7:45 this morning, they knocked me out in anesthesia. I had a procedure done. By the time everything was said and done, I was waking up about, I think it was like almost noon. It was probably like 11. It was like 11:30, 11:45. I was like just waking up. And then my parents walked in the room like 10 minutes later to see how I was doing. And you know what I said? I told everybody, I told them the Irish are coming. That's all I have to say. They were like, you feel good? I was like, yeah, I feel good. I was like, the Irish are coming. Now I just want everybody to know, be ready. So that was good, man. I had to eat, you know, 3 eggs this morning. I was outside 5 a.m. doing push-ups on the concrete. It's fight day.
Yeah, it is, so, man. So,
the
man,
I hope everybody in the damn crowd is wearing that afro. They're going to need all the afros they can get. Domination.
Well,
that's my prediction.
You want to close it out, bro?
That's my prediction. Domination. Head bouncing off the canvas. The Russians are out there. The Russians are going to have to wrestle knuckle out of that orbital bone.
Oh, man, here we go.
So that's my prediction.
Well, for everybody.
Domination.
So for everybody that follow me on Twitter, I'll be tweeting tomorrow during the fights, keeping you guys abreast of what's going on. I'm quite sure me and my man Keys will be texting each other tomorrow during the fights. Because it's a big time, man. It's a big time. So we're going to make this. Man, I'm glad we did this show tonight, bro. Thanks for the act doing this. Because we needed to do this show tonight.
Yeah, nah, we really need to do this show tonight. You know, and the craziest part about it is I'm so excited. The lightweight trifecta sitting top heavy, the top of the card. Crazy. I can't wait. Man, I kind of hope Pettis does a Showtime kick. I hope I see him flying off the cage, bro. Kick Ferguson in the face. Let's go.
Man.
Let's go, Pettis. I want to see a crazy performance. I want to see him flying like a ninja. No, hype I'm going to get before that co-main event. Man, I'm going to have – they said I can't drink alcohol for 24 hours since I got out of this procedure. They said Keys, no alcohol for 24 hours. I was like, I bet just in time for fight. Just in time for the fight to commence tomorrow afternoon.
Exactly.
Let's go. I was like, 24 hours? 24 hours and 30 minutes it is. Cracking my first beer. I can't wait. You know how hype I'm going to be for the fight? I'm going to get so hype. I can't wait. I want to see Pettis flying off the cage. I want to see Ferguson go Super Saiyan, bro. He's going to look like Goku. Ferguson's his eyes are going to light up. It's going to look like Dragon Ball Z in there. That's what Ferguson's going to do. And Pettis is going to come combating it, flying off the cage, Showtime kick.
Well, all right, bro, take us home, man. Uh-oh.
Hey,
yeah,
we still got a few minutes.
Take us home, Keys.
We got a few minutes. The excitement's just only just starting. Excitement's only just beginning. See, they need a few extra minutes because I'm just telling you. So, for the Russian Empire, just be ready. Because the Irish are coming. And they can't save you. I hope Khabib is as calm as he say he is going in the cage. I hope he is. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. You're talented, kid. You can do it. 26-0. You're the champ. Don't be scared. Run out there. He can't do nothing. He took all those hits from Michael Johnson. I hope he walks out there feeling fierce. Hope you all go out there feeling fearless. Yeah, and that's
all right, everybody. Me and Keys about to sign out for the night before the lady cut us off. You know, hope everybody get out and watch the fight. And if you do get out, be safe. If you're going to drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Get home safe. And, peace, and thanks for listening to the show. Take us home, Keys.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. And everybody, enjoy the event tomorrow. And witness, you know, Ferguson Super Saiyan, the fall of the Russian Empire. Over and out, Lean Keys.
Peace.